It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Dave and Dejanovic, a new conversation.
All right, here we go.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Okay, we're talking about the massive spending bill. We're going to dive into that a little bit right now because Democrats are scrambling. I thought we had an agreement. I thought we realized or knew that, you know what, we'd come to a compromise. Well, Democrats right now are scrambling to add another little piece to this spending bill to address immigration in the framework. Boyd, didn't they come to a compromise here? They kind of figured this out, and then somebody had the bright idea like, hey, let's add immigration to this.
Yeah, they keep going in and out. They get in close and tight, and they throw everything in, and then they realize that's not going to work, and they pull all the way back out. Immigration has been one of those in the bill, not in the bill. It was in the original infrastructure bill, and in and out and back and forth. And it just shows that we are getting so complicated in terms of what we're willing to throw into a bill that, I would remind everyone, is still not completed, hasn't fully been written. And there will be thousands of pages that very few people will ever read. But to throw immigration in at this point in the game is just one more example of the dysfunction that's happening in our nation's capital.
What would that look like? What would immigration in this spending bill, the social infrastructure bill, look like? Do they even know what they want other than, hey, we should do something with immigration?
Let's just do everything. I'm not sure they're even clear in terms of what that would look like or what that would mean. Obviously, there's the DACA program for those young people who came across as children, you know, through no fault of their own. And so that's been, you know, in the courts and in the bills and so on. And it's just more complexity. And it just shows why we have to get back to this thing called regular order and that there is a process that is supposed to be followed in the House and the Senate, but we seem to ignore more and more as the years go on.
As you look at this spending bill, it's talking about a federal family leave program, 3 months. If you have a kid, you can step away from your job and the government picks up the bill, right? So that doesn't fall on the individual employer. You're talking about Medicare expansion, including vision and hearing and dental. There's climate change, and it's all over the map. And I think there's really good conversations to be had, Boyd, on each one of these things.
Yeah.
But we're just trying to have it all at once. And it's like the conversation I have with my teenagers. What are we even talking about right now?
Yeah, it's everything and the kitchen sink being thrown in and mixed together and then pulled out accordingly. And of course, a lot of the debate right now is happening strictly between the far left progressive wing of the Democratic Party and the more moderate centrist wing of the Democratic Party. That is the battle that's going on right now. But there is a solution to all of this. And Dave, whenever I need an inside source, my ultimate inside source when it comes to how this is supposed to work is our friend James Waldner from R Street Institute. He is a senior fellow there at R Street, and he is the sage of the Senate. He's the ultimate inside source when it comes to the Senate. And we're bringing him in to Dave and Dejanovic today. So, James, welcome to Dave and Dejanovic. Here's Dave.
With Boyd. James, I appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me.
I look at this bill, and it feels like a stream of consciousness bill. But we want to talk about this return to regular order. Can you describe how it's supposed to work?
Well, it's certainly not supposed to work like this, simply because it's not working.
Yeah.
Right? Just from a very common sense perspective. When people talk about regular order, though, I want to caution your listeners. Regular order refers to a process whereby a bill is introduced, it goes to committee, it hits the floor, it's then passed and signed into law, the schoolhouse rock version of how a bill becomes a law. That's all well and good. There are other ways bills can become laws, too. Right now, the Congress isn't doing any of them, pretty much. they're not doing a lot of stuff. In fact, you know, legislative productivity in the Congress is at one of its all-time lows. So it's not a question of regular order versus irregular order right now. It may be in the future. It's a question of just like, what are you doing with your time?
And that is the big question. Other than the time just keeps ticking, we end up with a lot of fake fights and false choices and a lot of deadlines and cliffs and catastrophes and Armageddon, all of those things. Hey, we need to add in, Dave. James, earlier we were talking about weather, and we were talking about all kinds of bombs and tornadoes and so on.
The bomb cyclone,
that's what it was. And maybe that's what we need in the Senate right now. But as they look at what they should be spending their time on versus what we are watching them spend their time on, how do we get to something that will get us to what you described, whether it's regular order or whether it's through all the other ways that things can become law? Where do we begin to start fixing the mess?
Well, you begin in the Senate, you begin with senators, right? You get them, you know, senators who get out of the bed in the morning, who put their feet on the ground, who look in the mirror and say, I'm going to be a senator today. I'm going to go to the Senate and I'm going to fight for the things that I think we ought to do. And I'm going to adjudicate the concerns of my constituents. And I'm going to use all of the rules, every single rule that I can, to that end. And then other senators are going to respond to them, and they're going to try to stop that senator in the most basic way possible. And guess what? You know what we call that? It's called legislating. That's legislating. And instead of trying to work it all out behind closed doors and wrapping it up with a bow, and then everybody can sing kumbaya and everybody agrees on it. First of all, that doesn't happen, case in point. Today, I mean, just look at what's happening in Congress. But the point is that the legislative process is messy. It's ugly. It's about disagreement. And out of that process emerges compromise. It always does.
And I think that's such a crucial piece of the puzzle, is that you do have to, when everything gets done behind closed doors, then you're basically, everyone, all of the other senators are abdicating their power, and the people they represent, by the way, to two or four other senators who are deciding what is and what isn't in it. And as you said, they wrap it up with a bow, and then there's no opportunity for debate, for amendments, or for any kind of compromise.
I think that's right. It also makes it really hard to reconcile yourself to suboptimal outcomes. Like, if you have a fight on the floor of the House or Senate, if you've fought in committee in the House, if you've really tried to do something and you fall short, your constituents are going to understand. Look, I know a lot of people on the far left and the far right, and I don't know anyone who expects their representative to have dictatorial control of the government. What people expect of their representatives is the opportunity to adjudicate their claims and to see those claims being adjudicated. And simply going behind closed doors and then coming out and saying, this is the best we can do, well, I don't think that's good enough for the American people. Case in point, no one seems to be happy right now with the status quo in Congress and where our nation is headed.
Well, when I look at this bill, and it is so far-reaching and overreaching, I look at just one segment of it, the Medicare expansion, where we're talking about giving seniors access to vision, hearing, and dental care. We'll replace grandma's hip, but we won't buy her some glasses, right? That seems like a fair conversation we can have. But again, I don't even know where to begin with this spending bill, because as soon as we start talking about the Medicare expansion, which likely will be out, we pivot to something else. And it's like trying to grab a two-year-old. They're just all over the place. I can't grasp anything.
Well, and part of that is where they're debating these decisions, of course, behind closed doors. It's hard to see and get a sense of what's happening there. And it's hard to kind of trust people and take them at their word as to why they're agreeing to something or not. If, you know, this is the best we can do, it's hard. We don't know. We didn't see it. I think another part of this process that your listeners should keep in mind, though, is also the reconciliation process, right? It's this budget-related fast-track process that allows Congress, and especially the Senate, to do budget-related things in a very quick manner to get around the filibuster. And that has a consequence, both in terms of the kinds of provisions that can be included in these bills, but also in a more basic sense, you only have 20 hours of debate on a reconciliation bill on the Senate floor. If you put this bill on the Senate floor via regular order, if we're going to call it that, you let people offer amendments, you leave it out there for a couple of weeks, it's going to pass in the end. We don't know what form it will be in, but something will pass. It nearly always does. But if there's only 20 hours, that doesn't leave a lot of time to let this process play out, to allow the American people to play into it and to educate their representatives. And so reconciliation itself, not only by the nature of the provisions included, but also the expedited time frame, doesn't allow the leaders an opportunity to identify a compromise. So they have to work it out ahead of time, and it's really hard to do that behind closed doors.
What incredible insight. 20 hours for a bill that's going to be more than 2,500 pages. Just let that sink in for a minute. James Wollner, thank you so much for joining us, senior fellow at the R Street Institute. And I know you're Boyd's guy. Can you be my guy, though? Can I make a phone call every once in a while?
Absolutely. I will come on and chat whenever you'd like. I love talking about Congress, and I love talking about the Senate. So anytime. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate that. The sage of the Senate. I like to put people on, you know, on point on live radio.
There's a small fee for that, though, Dave. Just so no, yeah, we'll call it a fee because we don't like taxes. So we'll call it a small inside sources fee.
See, now you get it, Boyd. You've been talking about politics for so long. You are a politician at heart. I mean, it's not a tax; it's a fee. All right. All right. When we come back, we really appreciate James for joining us. That was fantastic. So let's step away. When we come back, Biden's tax the rich plan. All right. All these spending bills, they got to be paid for somehow. He's got a new plan, and it has to do with capital gains.
And Dujanovic.
Tim and Amanda here with breaking updates. Mornings from 5 to 9.
Then from 3 to 7, it's Jeff Kaplan and his Minute of News.
We're all on KSL News Radio.
Utah's all-day companion for news.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.